Okay. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I am doing very well.
When did you get into town?
I just got back around 20 or 30 minutes ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I was like basically your first stop.
Yeah.
Good. So, Cyberpunk, Keanu Reeves, go.
Oh my gosh, he is amazing. I can't... As soon as I saw that trailer drop on YouTube from the E3 the presentation, it was like a match made in heaven. I'm like, more Keanu Reeves in sci-fi. This is what we need.
Yeah, absolutely. For some reason, like, yeah, it makes sense, but I also didn't see it coming. Like, I was like, what the fuck? Like, he's an actor. He's not supposed to be here. But then that's a whole other thing is, like, I'm glad actors are realizing that video games are, like, a valid...
Medium.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's come a long way in the last 10 years, especially. Also, the caliber of, like, directors guiding the games forward have increased, like, from Hideo Kojima to David Cage and countless other people. Like, just the quality has improved.
One thing I'm worried about, though, is how much more is Keanu Reeves getting paid to be in Cyberpunk than if they were to cast just a voice actor like Nolan North or...
He doesn't take a whole lot of money for anything he does.
Keanu?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And a lot of his money he ends up donating to charities. He's like middle class.
Good. I mean, I'm glad. I'm glad it's not like, hey, we're going to pay you like double what we would pay a regular voice actor to be in this because your fame will bring our game fame.
Yeah.
You know, to the people that wouldn't pick up Cyberpunk for any other reason than, hey, this has got Keanu Reeves in it.
Yeah.
So...
And it's always those characters that are kind of like off the wall sci-fi people, because like you have Neo from Matrix, and then John Wick. I mean, that's not sci-fi, but it's that kind of edgelord character that he's good at playing at when he's doing serious roles.
Yeah,
and it works perfectly for him, and he's got that natural ability to pull off the most weird dialogue lines that no one else could get away with.
Yeah, I think the female counterpart to that is Uma Thurman.
Yeah. Kill Bill.
Yeah, she's had some shitty lines, but she just delivers them so well. You're like, yeah, you wiggle your big toe. What are some other new games you're looking forward to?
New games looking forward to definitely Doom Eternal.
Oh, yeah?
Massive Doom fan. I buy that every time it comes out on a new console. It's like the Resident Evil 4. They put it out on a new console, and I'm already dumping another $30 into the new version.
I think I've only done that with The Last of Us. Like, it's the exact same game, but I'm like, I need it on this console, and this console, and this console.
Oh, and you know it's going to get ported to the next one, too.
I hope.
It's too good.
Yeah. Yeah, just a little... I'm sure maybe at some point it'll even be just, you can buy the second one and it'll come with it, sort of a thing.
Like a double pack.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. I'm surprised they're not doing it as like a pre-order bonus or something for part two.
I'm sure they will.
Like, because it feels like a perfect bundle opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, you get that, you get Left Behind, and you get The Last of Us 2.
Right.
And that would be great.
It would actually be a perfect package there.
What are your thoughts on Death Stranding?
I'm so excited.
Are you?
The excitement is so real.
Yeah?
You saw the trailer, right? The 10-minute one with Apocalyptia playing?
I did.
Like, ladder intensifies.
I am intrigued, for sure. But it's almost like every trailer that I see, I'm somehow less excited.
Is it because you don't know what's going on?
I think so. Like, I'm more intrigued, but less... Like, that gameplay trailer.
Yeah.
Where he's walking around, and that's basically all.
That's the problem with a lot of Hideo Kojima trailers, because he likes to keep things really close to the chest.
Yeah, really secret.
And, I mean, which is good, because I don't want to go in after watching 50 trailers knowing everything
and
about
just,
the game.
Yeah, yeah. which it's definitely good, also slightly risky. I don't think there's going to be... I know I'm not pre-ordering it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
I mean, just the pre-order bonuses aren't that exciting anyways.
Like, if you're not super stoked for it, which, I mean, it could come out and it could be amazing, and then, you know, a week after it's out, then it just blows up and everybody wants to get it because they've heard how great it is, which I hope that's the case, because... Did you play the PT demo?
I did. I count myself very lucky to have got in when I did before Konami killed it.
Yeah. It's shit that you can't just get the demo. Just
we were gonna have a Silent Hills game.
I know.
Directed by the creator of Metal Gear and the director of Hellboy.
How I mean, come on!
That was going to be cool, no matter what.
PT for a demo, like, my hands sweat and I jumped more than most full-length horror games. Like, I was scared when that fucking fridge was like tumbling around up there, and you heard all the
And the hallway went red.
Yeah, fuck that shit. I got goosebumps just thinking about it. Like,
That one hallway was better than all the fun houses I've ever experienced in real life.
It was insane. And the weird, creepy-ass paper bag.
Or the fetus in the sink?
Yeah, well, there was that, too. I wasn't going to bring that up. No, but...
Fun fact, a lot of those people in not only the demo, the PT demo, but the trailer are all actors from Metal Gear.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. The woman, I can't think of her name.
Laura Bailey?
She's the ghost in the hallway that you see everywhere.
Hey, Jackson. My cat is tearing at my couch currently.
He's planning to take over Hyperion.
Yeah, it's fine. Speaking of all these fun facts, where the hell do you get all your random video game knowledge?
I am constantly connected to the internet. It's basically like my second full-time job. Like, no joke, if I'm not actively working or on a game, I'm on YouTube, I'm researching, like, information and facts about things. I like to keep up to date on what I enjoy so much,
What's some new information?
New information lately? Yeah. This one's kind of more of a bummer, but, like, the new Doom port to current generation consoles just came out. And I think this one's kind of made the rounds for the last week, but people are still talking about it at the moment. When you boot the game, you have to create a Bethesda.net account.
Oh.
And you can't play this single-player game from 1992 without being connected to the internet.
What?
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
That would be... Okay, you have not heard about my internet fiasco. I just got my internet up.
Oh, yeah?
Thursday. I moved here on the 5th.
Yeah? That's... Who do you go through? CenturyLink?
Yeah, of course I
do.
Yeah,
that's why. Those guys take their sweet time.
I mean, everybody that I talk to is super nice, but it's like... this is not a difficult problem, but it was a different problem every time.
Yeah.
It was like, I was moving here on the 5th. They were like, all right, that's your move date. I called on the 5th. They were like, oh, we have you entered as the 15th. And I was like, the fuck you do? And they're like, there's nothing we can do. Like, the order is placed on the 15th. It's not going to work until then. And I'm like, what?
We can't take a pencil and rewrite the number.
We can't just fucking change it in the computer and activate your modem. No. Why would we want to do that? So
that would require work.
Yeah. And it was just one thing after the other. So I haven't been able to play anything online.
That's how it has been for the last couple of months. I'm still working on getting internet for my new house.
So think of, like, yeah, internet is... very prominent everywhere right now, but the people that don't have internet, well, Doom says fuck you, or like
yeah, no, seriously. So here's how it works. Like, so you'll log in and then the DRM will shut off for the rest of the time you're playing the session. But like, because you know, on a Switch you can put it on to safe mode.
I do not, like, but now I do.
Oh, okay. Do you have a 3DS?
No.
Those work the same way as well. Like, when you know how you close it?
Okay.
Like, on a DS, the thing turns off, but, like, when you flip it back open, it's on. And okay. It's like you just kind of pause it.
Like a sleep mode, sort of.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a sleep mode for the Switch as well, but if you use the sleep mode feature while you're running Doom, it's the second you log back in.
Oh, my cats are doing.
The second you log back in, the prompt will come back saying you have been disconnected from the Bethesda.net servers, and you won't be able to relog in unless you close the application and relaunch Doom.
Which would pick up at, like, the last checkpoint, right?
Not no. Where...
Oh, no?
No, no, that's this is a 1992 game we're talking about. You're going to restart from the beginning of the level.
Fuck that shit.
Or just restart the game in general if you didn't save.
Wow.
Like...
Wow. Yeah, you don't think about how lucky you are nowadays to have autosaves. Thank you, autosaves!
It's probably the best thing to ever happen to video games, besides the actual save feature.
Yeah. Yeah, because then you go back to, like, the old Resident Evil games, where you have to have a ribbon, and you have to find a typewriter, which was awesome, and it really immerses you in there.
I love Resident Evil 2 so much.
Yeah? I haven't finished it. I'm almost done with Leon's story.
Oh, so you have the new one?
I do, yeah.
You are... Oh, gosh, how are you loving it?
I like it. Schmitty and I were kind of playing it together, like, trading off the controller and everything, and... It's kind of hard to play with multiple people.
This is true. It is an experience best played by yourself.
I mean, it was nice because if one of us would get stuck on something, we could just hand it over to the other person. That was really...
Yeah.
That was really nice. And it keeps kind of the... Not that there's a huge horror vibe to Resident Evil 2, necessarily.
It more so than the original.
Yeah.
Because the original... Have you ever played the original for, like, PlayStation 1 or N64?
I did not. I had, like, watched gameplay of it before, but no, I've never played it.
I mean, some of the stuff was scary back then because of the time.
The dog jumping through the window.
Yeah, but a lot of it was more campy.
Yeah.
It was having fun with the genre it was in.
It's a good series. I really like that series a lot.
I as soon as that game came out last January, not even kidding, I finished that game about 15 times.
Wow. Do you have all the trophies? Did you platinum it?
I am at 83% at the moment, and I S-ranked hardcore mode.
Fuck that.
with Leon's Scenario A campaign.
Nice.
So, and that you have to finish that in under 3 hours, while only saving twice.
Jeez.
Because if you save 3 times, it'll cut you down to a B rank.
Are they both pretty good stories, or do you prefer Leon's or Claire's, like, one over the other, or are they very similar?
I love both of those characters.
Claire Redfield is my favorite video game character of all time.
Leon is mine, but that is not to say I hate Claire in any way, because, like, I grew up with both of them.
Yeah.
Like, those two are my favorite heroes from Resident Evil, and just horror games in general.
I've always had just a soft spot for Claire Redfield.
She's awesome.
I just love her. I'm not really a fan of Jill. Unpopular
She's
opinion.
Really two-dimensional.
Yeah. And I hate Ada Wong.
Really? You hate Ada? I never thought I'd hear you say that.
Hate Ada Wong.
Is it because she's such a tease?
No. I think it's because Leon's so obsessed with her, and I don't know why. Like, he's like, I'm like, dude, you literally know nothing about her at all.
Yeah.
Not a thing. You know, her name's Ada Wong and she wears red. That's about it.
Well, see, he's infatuated with that. It's love at first sight for
sure,
him at least.
Sure.
Like, that has been a staple of the franchise of those two going back and forth with each other.
It's been ridiculous.
With Claire just in the back corner going, what the hell's going on?
What the fuck, Leon? What are you doing? Have you played 6?
I have played bits and pieces.
Okay, there's a spot in 6 where you walk into this room and there are all these weird creations being hatched, and one of them is a tape. There's a tape that says "Happy Birthday, Ada Wong."
Okay,
you put that in, and Ada's hatched, and Helena is Leon's, like, partner working with him at the time, and she's like, "What? what is that? What is going on? And then
it's my girlfriend.
He's like, Ada. And I'm like, maybe we just saw her get hatched. I don't really know if you want to be, like, still really... You need to reevaluate this relationship just a little bit.
Even though it wasn't technically Ada?
No, but you didn't know that at that point in time. Yeah, and it was...
We thought she just got monstrified at the point.
Resident
Evil is so weird.
It's so great, but yeah, you definitely never know what to expect.
Yeah. My only like glaring issue with Resident Evil 2 was when you switch between campaigns. You finished it at this point, have you?
Resident Evil 2, no. I'm at like the very end of Leon's.
Okay.
Because I've played Ada's little part, and now I'm back to Leon. So I'm assuming it's almost over.
Claire then yet?
Not yet.
All right. So after you finish the game, you will unlock. It's kind of a new game plus. At least this game treats it like it.
Okay.
But it's scenario 2. Mm. Scenario 2 is where you go through the when you play a character through with scenario 1. So like the beginning thing, that is the canon storyline for that universe you've kind of created.
Okay.
Scenario 2 is when you're playing the other character in that first character's set of events.
Okay. So like say Leon opened a door.
Well, it's like when you play through Leon, right?
Yeah.
You'll start Claire and her storyline for scenario 2. But instead, she gets to the police station after that cutscene of her and Leon meeting up at the police station outside fences. That's where you start the game with her.
Okay.
And with all those zombies coming in.
Great. Yeah. I'm excited.
Scenario 2 is about it taking into consideration that you've played the game, you know the mechanics, now we're just going to throw you into it.
Okay.
With half the ammo that scenario 1 had. And all the items are remixed.
Oh.
So everything's in different places.
Well, that's good. That would get a little... You'd be like, oh, I'm just gonna go over here and grab this herb that I know is in there real quick.
My only gripe about it is the continuity of those items, because some items do show up in the same place, specifically like inventory items, not key items. Key items are all basically, for the most part, in different places. But like, say you go through Leon and you find that box of ammo on the front desk in the police station. That box of ammo
always
would be there. It's
always
there. And I was like, I kind of wish, like, if you go through it and you use too many items, you've kind of screwed over the second character. Because that's how it happened in the original.
Yeah.
If you
I bet a lot of people complained about that. So they were like, let's make it finishable. You know, like...
Right.
Yeah.
The knife is considerably weaker than it was in Resident Evil 4 or 5.
You should have seen... I actually have it recorded. I'm pretty sure it's in one of the videos uploaded to our Twitter profile. But the moment I realized that the knife had...
Oh, it had
like
a degradation?
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. And then I'm just staring at the menu and the knife has like one notch gone out of two. And I was like, the fuck is this?
It surprised me too. There is a kind of a rhythm you can get into RE4, and it kind of works to an extent in 2 with the knife. The knife is the most overpowered thing. You can beat Krauser with that knife.
Wow.
Going through that game. And so it's a great way to conserve ammo, and if you're playing hardcore mode on RE2, you're going to want to get familiar with that knife. You're going to get real familiar. So the best thing to do is you wait for the zombie to kind of come for the lunge, and instead of kind of taking it or trying to run away, you make a hard left, and the hitbox doesn't catch Leon or Claire. It's easier to do it with Claire's because her hitbox is technically smaller. But you get in, and they'll be in a stagger state, because they have the animation recover, and you can go in for a couple knives, and you kind of just repeat this process. And this will take a few minutes.
Yeah.
Because the knife is really weak, but that's what you want to do. And I was doing this with a zombie, and I killed it. I have all my ammo, but now I don't have a knife.
And you're like, shit.
I'm like, this
is... Or the thing you can do where if it's grabbing you, you can... Can't you stab it?
Yes.
To get it off of you? I have lost so many fucking knives that way.
Oh, if you killed a zombie, you can get it back.
I know you can get it back. But it's typically like, oh, I'm going to run through this room. Oh, there's a whole bunch of zombies. Oh my god, one grabbed me. Stab, run. And then I get over there and I'm like, fuck.
See, this is...
I can't stab and then take out my knife, of course. I got to stab and leave it in, but whatever.
It's a gameplay mechanic that was carried over from Remake 1.
Yeah.
Where you had defensive items, and that was the flashbang and knife in 2. And they were just things that you press R2 if you were getting grabbed, you could escape. They weren't supposed to be an actual replacement for the knife that it became.
And sometimes, like, I wouldn't even think, oh, I want to stab this to get it off of me. The prompt would just come up to hit R2, and I would hit it, and I'd be like, fuck, I just blew my only flashbang, you know, whatever. I'm like, ah, man. No, but I'm really enjoying it so far.
Nah, it's fantastic.
It's it's kind of a remaster. What game do you wish there could be a remaster for either PS, like this PlayStation or the new console?
Jack and Daxter.
Yeah?
100%. I don't even have to think about that.
You're like, it's not even a hard decision. I've never played Jack and Daxter.
Game.
Yeah?
I would take both. Like, I played those games so much as a kid, and I was so, like, enamored with that world. Because it's like a bunch of these elf people with guns.
Isn't
and
it?
And there's magic.
Is that Naughty Dog?
Yeah.
Okay,
I thought that's what they were working on right before Uncharted.
Mm.
In fact, Uncharted 1 started out as Jack 4. At one point in development, and then they just kind of threw it all out and said, hey, let's just do Indiana Jones.
Let's make Nathan Drake. Yeah.
Uncharted was good, though.
Oh, God, yes. Have you played Lost Legacy?
I have not. I watched a playthrough of it on YouTube, though.
My opinion? Best Uncharted game.
Really?
Yeah. I love Nathan Drake. I love him to death. But I need Lost Legacy 2.
I would be okay with Lost Legacy 2. I'd probably buy that.
Like a full-length game?
Yeah.
Would be good? Like, they got their little test of their little Lost Legacy. A full-length game, Nadine's story, it could be set in Africa. Let's do this.
Oh, you just want to play Nadine, not Chloe.
I could play either one. I just want them both there.
Okay.
I really loved that friendship. Like, I mean, definitely not a friendship at first, but I really loved that relationship. Like, I hated Chloe in the Uncharted games. I did not like her. She was just, you know, the sexualized female character that was put there to be sexualized, and that was it. And she was, I just hated her. I couldn't stand her. And then Nadine, you know, is the villain in 4. So I was like, how the fuck are you making a Lost Legacy game?
With these two characters.
With these two characters. And then it ended up being my favorite. And I'm like, congratulations, Naughty Dog. You did it.
Well, it's funny because you're very right about Chloe. She was very much designed to only be in 2.
Yeah.
And her being in 3 was just kind of like, hey... She's
Here's
a
character from the other one.
Yeah.
Continuity.
That's exactly. The Uncharted saga, as of, like when you're talking about Nathan Drake, is very much about Nathan and Elena.
Elena. I love Elena.
At the core, it's about them as a couple.
Absolutely, and love that.
Elena is the phase where he's thinking other people.
Oh, Chloe, yeah.
Like, there's other people I could be with. And then...
Yeah, it was, I mean, altogether very good, and I just love who Chloe's character became.
I was down with her from the start just because I knew who her voice actor was.
Yeah,
and
Claudia Black.
Yeah. She plays Morrigan in Dragon Age.
Ah.
And Admiral Zahn? Is that her name? She plays one of the Koreans in Mass Effect. And you hear that voice and you're automatically like, okay, I know exactly what type of character this is.
And that's like the opposite for Laura Bailey.
Yeah.
Because you could look something up and be like, that's Laura Bailey? It doesn't even sound like her, because she can literally just sound like...
She has a lot wide range.
Yeah, whoever she wants. And I'm like, shit, she's very talented. A remaster I would die for. I have 2 of them. Dead Space.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, Dead Space 4. When are we going to ever get Dead Space 4? Because 3 ended on a cliffhanger.
I've never played 3.
Really?
Yeah, I played 1. Loved it.
Yeah?
Fucking loved it. Played 2. I think I finished 2, but then that was all on PS3 and I got a PS4 and then I was done.
Okay.
So they were so fun and they were scary.
Yeah?
And they were immersive.
All right, don't play 3 then.
No?
Don't play 3 then.
Why?
Because it's none of that.
What?
It's an action game.
What?
Like, it's Resident Evil 6.
You mean 5?
I mean, I respect that joke a lot because I get that. Dead Space really is the real RE5.
Wow. Well, that would explain, I guess, why there's no 4. Is people were like, fuck this.
That, the fans said that, and 3 just didn't sell enough because EA wanted the game to sell like Call of Duty.
Oh.
And I'm like, that's an impossible expectation to put on anyone.
Which doesn't make any sense, because why do people buy Call of Duty?
Like, what cultural household is going to say, oh yeah, Dead Space, let's get that for my kid. No, Dead Space would be amazing.
And I'm a huge fan of writing on walls of games at all, writing anywhere, because I'm just like, you know, the creator put that there too. Like, yeah. There's a reason that writing's there. It's not just design. And so
that intern who worked for $8 an hour, this says, the nail and put that on the wall.
Yeah.
In that one corridor.
I found one and I posted it on my Instagram forever ago, and it was just Isaac standing in front of just like blood smeared down, and then it said, fuck this ship. And I was like, yep.
Especially if you're playing on Zealot mode.
Mm-mm.
Or Zealot mode, I should say.
Did you use any other weapons but the plasma cutter?
Why?
I know. Why do you even include other weapons? Just upgrade that plasma cutter and you're good to go.
Yeah. You actually don't need anything else.
You don't.
Like, that's fantastic. There's even a trophy for it. Of finishing Dead Space 1 with just the plasma cutter.
Huh.
And if you play Dead Space 2 right after, you can bring Dead Space 1's version of the plasma cutter and just play with that one.
Nice. That's amazing.
Which, that's the way to go, because that's a good-looking plasma cutter.
So you have a Switch.
I do.
What do you think of Nintendo's roller coaster of popularity?
This is one of the strangest business decisions ever, because they truly are a company trapped in time.
That was very well said. It's very well said.
We're in such a changing era in all forms of industry, and we're on like the precipice of a big one, streaming.
Yeah.
And Nintendo has always kind of, I guess, been behind in the times for a variety of reasons, but I always think they had the idea that they were doing it from a place of good interest. They never really wanted to get in on the big online multiplayer scene, because they wanted to stick to focused single-player titles like they had always done.
Do you think that's what they wanted, or do you think they just knew they couldn't compete with...
I think it's a little of both. No one has Microsoft's money, or Sony's.
Yeah.
Sony's, as good as Sony's doing, their movie division is tanking hard. That's why they made the deal with Disney in the first place for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
No one thought Venom was ever going to be a hit, until it did. Nintendo, they're not scrounging for cash, but they haven't had an easy time, and the Wii U hurt them a lot.
And I think even the Wii was a very short-lived... Everybody had it. Everybody got the Wii. And then, do you play a Wii?
On the contrary, I think it's the longest-living console to ever grace this planet.
Really?
Just at E3, a new Just Dance game was announced for the Wii. And I said, what the fuck?
Like,
do people still use that as a paperweight?
I remember when the Wii came out, my parents bought it for the family. Because, you know, it was more advertised as a family console.
Yeah, it's not, and you know, a gimmick.
Yeah, it's not a console you'll get your teenager to, you know, be like, hey, I want this new game, Mom. Okay, here, have this game. Go away.
Right.
The Wii is more of a, like, oh, the whole family can play. Let's see, Mario Kart came out for the Wii. All those sports, Wii Sports.
Right.
I fucking loved Wii Sports.
Wii Sports Resort was amazing.
I played that disc so much that it broke.
You broke the disc?
I broke the disc. It was like overplayed. I was like, oh, it just needs cleaned. No, no.
No, that disc is worn out.
It was destroyed.
That's hilarious. I played so much table tennis on the Wii Motion Plus disc they put out.
Yeah.
With all the extra sports and whatnot.
Yeah.
That was great.
I loved it so much, and it was so fun for
all of 3 weeks.
I was gonna give it a year, but yeah, it was very short-lived for, I think, most people.
For hardcore gamers especially, unless Zelda came out.
Yeah.
That's the, like, or Smash. Smash Brothers is a big one. Speaking of which, Smash Brothers for Switch.
I was gonna say, Switch, I feel like, is, do you think it's gonna continue to be a success like it is, or think it's gonna fizzle out like the Wii or the GameCube, or?
Oh, no.
No?
I think the way, like, I used to joke around it, like a year ago when I first got it, that oh man, it's made gaming convenient. No, it actually has.
It really
made
has.
Gaming convenient. It's made me lazy enough that I don't even want to get up out of my bed to go to my couch on my day off and play on my PlayStation. I want to just stay in bed with my small dumb tablet and just play on that and just play Smash Brothers all day. And it's fantastic. I don't have to get anywhere. And if I'm feeling extra lazy, there's a thing you can flip like a plastic like extension out and lay it on the table, kind of like those phone extensions.
So you don't have to hold it.
Yeah, and if you want, you can just sit back like this on your couch and just play, because they actually made the controller small enough for your hands.
Nice. your PSN name. Goldfinger, 24K.
Yes.
Where'd that come from?
That came from a very long... Oh, man. How? I think I've had that since August of 2011.
What console, like, did you first?
PlayStation 3.
3?
Yeah.
Did you have any names before that one?
I thought of... Well, no. No, I didn't... It was my first ever PlayStation or just, like, a video game...
Nice.
Online account, anything. If you don't count RuneScape, but and everyone played that back then, the 2000s. No, but I grew up playing, watching, consuming James Bond media in all of its forms, and my favorite film as a kid, and even to this day, is still Goldfinger. He's my favorite villain. There's a lot of interesting facts of how that movie came about and what happened during it. And I just couldn't think of any other better name because I wasn't an original kid. And so I did think it was really cool of me at the time to put the 24K, like 24 carats.
Yeah.
At the end of the name. So I was like, oh, I'm in with the big
I'll
kids
I'll definitely
now.
Never regret that.
Yeah. No, but shoot, 8 years later... It's still my name.
Yeah.
I have over 4,000 trophies clocked in on that.
You're
sucker.
Like, I'm not changing this fucking thing.
I'm not changing that.
Well, they are about to... I think they're going to let you change it soon. One time.
The name. Yeah.
Just the name. I mean, it'd still be your profile. So would that be something that you would do? Or is it just...
I think at this point I would keep your, it.
Yeah.
It's part of me now.
Yeah.
it's been that long with me. It's almost a decade of my life. I might as well keep it.
Do you have any gaming friends that, like, maybe you've met on a game that just call you Goldfinger and don't know your name? Or don't call you Cole? Or do you just...
never really kept online friends a whole lot.
Yeah.
I did for a few back when Mass Effect 3 multiplayer was big.
Mass Effect 3 had a multiplayer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
If you talk to Medic Full of Rage,
oh.
Thane, like when that game dropped, like I didn't even get to play the story for 2 weeks after it launched because they would be hounding my door like, get online, play the game now. I'm like, okay. And we, it was cooperative multiplayer. It wasn't competitive.
Hmm.
Four soldiers, depending on what classes you were playing with. And there were all classes from the story mode campaign and more after that, because a ton of stuff got added to that game. You start on a map, and it's kind of like a level, and you survive waves of enemies from the Cerberus organization to the Collectors, Reapers,
yeah.
Or what was it, the Geth. And after the 11 rounds, you head back to your ship for mission accomplished, or you all die.
So kind of like a Left 4 Dead style.
It was.
Okay.
You didn't run through a level. It was kind of like an arena. They were all structured like multiplayer competitive arenas.
Okay, but it was
cooperative.
Got it. Hmm.
And it was all enemies from the game, and then they would later add enemies that were not in the main game, that would later come in like the DLC expansions for the story mode.
Like tankier yeah. enemies, like
some annoying ones too. No, Mass Effect 3 multiplayer was fantastic. I even to this day, there hasn't been a multiplayer that me and Thane have ever really got into like it.
Killing Floor?
Killing Floor comes close, but he gets knocked off things pretty easily. You know how Thane is.
Yeah.
Like, he'll get really hyped about it for a whole week or a day, and then, yeah, I don't want to get on anymore.
Yeah. We love you, Thane. Yeah. What are you playing right now?
Right now, Fire Emblem. This consumed my life.
I don't know what that is.
Fire Emblem is a tactic strategy game.
That would be why I don't know what that is. I don't have either of those.
it's kind of a lighter version of XCOM.
If you know
what XCOM is?
Yeah.
It's like that, but it's with swords and magic and whatnot.
Okay.
And it's an anime thing, pretty much. At least it is nowadays. It was a lot less of the anime culture surrounding it. This new game is the most Persona thing I have ever seen outside of Persona. Like, it is more of a Persona game
than Persona.
Than the actual Persona and Fire Emblem crossover game.
Wow.
And a lot of people don't even remember that happened.
So, is it like, is there like a big story to it, or is it primarily like,
or like, is it, are you asking if it's like more gameplay or story?
Yeah, oh, like,
it's both, very much. Okay. So in fact, the stuff that you do in the story affect the gameplay more than I would say the gameplay affects the story, unless you're playing classic mode. See, it's turn-based strategy, so you got your guys, your characters, and they're all characters relative to the story. That's an important piece of information, and you send your characters forward. They all have their own abilities and classes that either mesh well or don't mesh well when facing other enemies. Say a sword user is not going to fight a spear soldier very well, because spears got length. Likewise, axes have a better chance against spear users because reasons.
Because axes.
I would just think a good enough halberd would wipe the floor with anyone. Because that's literally what it's made for. But, no. The thing is, with Fire Emblem, since the very first game back in the 90s, is that when your characters die on the field, they're dead for the rest of the game.
Hmm.
And they could be story important characters, or just characters you're attached to and you spent a long time leveling up. And if they die, sorry, they're gone.
Close application.
Yeah.
Unplug PS4.
Throw it out window.
Throw, yeah.
Buy a new PS4. No, it has... Playing it on the Switch has been fantastic. The story side of it is a reverse Persona. Because you're a professor. Like in a Persona game, you're a student at some academy. You have to balance your social and class life with your monster-killing life.
Okay. Understandably. I mean, you need balance.
Yeah, a good balance is good for any healthy breakfast.
I thought you were going to say relationship. Breakfast. That was even better. Continue.
It's a part of a balanced breakfast. Bloodshed in the morning. No. In Persona, like, you would have a calendar that you can open up, and you would be told that these things happen on, like, Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, so there's, like, an in-game calendar.
Yeah,
oh.
in Persona there would be.
Okay.
And you would have to plan your schedule out on what you're going to spend your time on what, because your time is very important in a Persona game.
Okay.
Who you spend your time with, what you do with your time, is always adding towards some statistic or relationship support. Because you grow in your relationships with the people around you in a Persona. This new Fire Emblem game does the same thing with how you choose to spend your time. You're a teacher, though, instead of a student. Your time has to be chosen between, are you building yourself up by training with other professors or students? Are you spending time with particular students to build your bond with them, or students' bonds with other students? And how much, who are you going to focus on in class to build them up for those particular statistics? There's three different main classes in the game: Golden Deer, Blue Lion, and Black Eagle. And you can poach students from other classes depending on what class, what house you pick, and what your statistics are for your character sheet.
Okay.
And you might not be able to get them now, but after a little self-improvement, later on you might. And it's a strategy, because unlike Persona, Fire Emblem Three Houses is a week-to-week thing. So all of your big who you spend your time with decisions are made on Saturdays on the game calendar. And from there, you can choose to either spend your time in class, building up specific stats on your students. You can go out and fight and just have them upgrade their combat stats, or have everyone attend a seminar where they get a bonus increased stat for a randomized thing.
Nice.
And only on Saturdays can you have characters level up to a new class, because they can have them take certification exams. So you have a dumb kid who's just swinging a stick for a sword for like 20 matches of a game. And you're like, okay, this is terrible. Let's get this guy something to actually swing around. So you want to make him a warrior. He's got to pass that exam. But the problem is he doesn't use an axe. He has no experience with an axe. So he has a lower chance of passing the test. So that's where you need to spend time with that student in class and build them up.
So that they're able to pass the test. Okay.
This is such just a Persona thing.
A lot of relationship building and a lot of... Yeah.
The story is very important, but so is the gameplay. Like, plan on classic mode. Don't get too attached. especially if you're really thinking about throwing that guy into a group of enemies.
Goodbye, Kevin.
Yeah.
We had a nice life.
No, Fire Emblem, it's my guilty pleasure that I don't talk about my love for Fire Emblem very much with anybody.
Yeah.
Because it's a little embarrassing.
It's like a...
I've become that creep who, like, reads the fan fiction and whatnot.
You're like, I need more Fire Emblem.
I need it.
I need it.
I need it now. And if I'm not playing anything, my default is just to go back and play more Fire Emblem.
Oh. Well, I mean, if you like it, what's it matter?
Right? That's if you're having fun, that's what counts.
Yeah, that's why you're playing.
Unless you're also like me, and you play games for the masochism, Because you need those trophies.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Neo. Did you ever play Neo?
I did not.
It's like,
I watched Thane play a little bit.
Samurai Souls, essentially.
Yeah. Samurai Souls, yeah, pretty
mixed
much.
With Diablo.
Okay.
There was a lot of, there's a loot-based system, kind of like, it works a lot more like Borderlands than it did Diablo in practice, but it's that game that if you want a platinum like Thane and I did, you're gonna be just sitting there for 300 hours playing that game. And even like it hits a point where it stops becoming a Souls game in like the trial and error type of way, and becomes like, is your stat not high enough, like in Diablo? Okay, your DPS isn't going to be good enough. You're gonna need to go back and grind.
Yikes.
It's a nightmare. And that DLC will kick your rear end from one end of the court to the other and then laugh at you as it does it.
I need one more trophy to platinum Borderlands 2.
What are you working on?
Complete all side missions. I have no idea what I'm missing. It's got to be like one random side mission somewhere.
I was going to say, they highlight it to you as well.
And I'm wondering, the one
it could
one
be a randomly spawning quest from, like, one of the open areas, like Dust?
I don't know. I went through a list of, like, all the side quests you need to complete to get this trophy.
Okay.
Went through the list of all the quests I've completed. They're all there, except for the, what is he called? Terramorphous?
Oh, the raid boss.
Yeah, and I've beat him before with friends.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if, like, I have to get the kill in order to complete that quest. Because I've killed him multiple times with friends, with Nathan and Thane. And it still hasn't said quest complete on my game.
Was it you joining the lobby, though?
I don't think
so. Or was that you actually starting the quest?
I think I started it.
Huh.
Yeah, so I don't know.
That's weird.
I just got the other three trophies yesterday that I needed. Yeah.
It could be very well a case of that trophy is bugged.
Yeah, which would suck, because that's all I need for that trophy.
Yeah, I've had that share of problems, and it hurts your soul.
Yeah, Schmitty and I played Far Cry 5 together, and they're total bullshit, first of all, because they encourage playing with your friends. Host-only trophies. Fucking all of the story trophies are host only trophies.
No nerd, play the game
and I'm
twice.
Like, fuck you. And then, you know, there's the new game plus, which is also apparently host only. I played the whole fucking game with him, new game plus, and it actually didn't give either of us the trophy at first. And he was like, what the fuck? And then, have you played Far Cry 5?
Oh, yeah, I finished it.
Okay, so you know the two endings?
Yeah.
If you do the pussy ending,
yeah,
you don't get the new game plus trophy. You have to fight him.
I can see that.
Yeah, but because we were like, we'll just see the other ending on new game plus.
Nah.
And we did it, and it's like, no, yeah, it was not the ending that they wanted you to have. So I'm like, why did you give us the choice? But yeah.
I thought the implications of the pussy ending was pretty good.
Yeah, that stupid song. I sing it just randomly all the time. I'm like, shit, why is that on my head right now? But maybe I am brainwashed. I don't know.
I tried to. And there was some of it, elements of it I liked, but New Dawn just really didn't do it for me.
I love the gameplay. The gameplay is so fun. Story is fucking shit.
I had a problem the other way around.
Really?
I didn't like the RPG added element to it.
Really? I enjoyed it a lot. I had a lot of fun playing. I don't know if that's because I was playing with Schmitty the whole time. I haven't played it alone at all.
I bet that would help anything.
Probably.
Playing with a good friend makes anything better.
Yeah, so it was so much fun. I really liked the... I liked the customization a lot more.
Oh, I didn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I liked... I don't know. I liked the shooting. I liked basically everything about playing the game. But that story was bananas.
Yeah.
Bananas, and not good bananas. I was like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, oh my gosh.
I would be okay if we didn't get a Far Cry game for a while and let them just kind of let it die down for a little while and do one up after some time has passed.
And their nerve. They had, like, the audacity to try to make us care for those twins.
Yeah.
When we knew absolutely fucking nothing about any character in this game at all.
See, that's the problem with Far Cry in general ever since 3, because they didn't realize until after the game released how cool Voss was.
Yeah.
And so every villain from then on, for just Ubisoft in general, had to be Voss. Because we can't have Voss back, because we killed him halfway through.
Yeah, yeah.
Far Cry 3. Yeah. Therefore, eliminating any reason to play the second half of Far Cry 3.
And I mean, there was no... I could rant about this forever, but there was no personality to either of those twins.
Oh no, but they're crazy. They're doing crazy things on screen. That means you gotta like it.
Oh man. Yeah, and then we get to the end and they're like...
She beat a guy. You know,
there's that violin music and, you know, they're laying by each other and they're like, I promised so-and-so I would take care of you. And then I'm like, I literally don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck who you promised to do what.
I was at work yesterday. I was literally thinking about that scene.
Yeah.
And I think it was their mother that they promised that they would keep each other safe.
I've got another really funny video on our Twitter channel of they're sitting there and it's all emotional and then it just cuts to Schmitty just emptying just all of his gun. And
I still have the password to the account, and I'm going to upload this video because it's too good not to. It was back from October when I was playing Red Dead Redemption 2. I started a mission where the game gave me a prompt to go get on my horse to start the mission, right? As I'm walking to the horse, the game turns black and white, and then game overs me.
What?
And I'm like, what could this, why? And then, because Rockstar Games tell you, Red Dead Redemption at least, tells you the reason for the mission failure.
Okay.
And it says, you attacked your horse. I was just walking, bro.
You attacked your horse, how dare you?
Like, first of all, I didn't attack. Second of all, the horse had full health. How does this constitute a failure of a mission? How does this ruin the scene? Like, so I'll try to record it with my phone and send it to you. I'll try to put it up on the Twitter channel, but the surprise in my voice when it happened, I was like, "What? No, no way!
I did not hurt my horse." Like, all right, well, I think that is... I was going to say all the time we have. Technically, we have time, but...
Got all the time in the world.
Too. All the time. We have all the time, but... Maybe should avoid, like, an hour-long upload, probably.
That would be good on the bandwidth.
But thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me.
We'll definitely do this again.
I'm looking forward to it.
What was it you said earlier when it cut off? Sometimes I'm so lazy that...